rolls from one thing into the next. Just to give you an idea of what that consists of, about 30% of our ministry. So it's only a portion, and the locations and areas that we're involved in, and so in what God is doing. So again, as I said before, that would not be possible without your partnership. Okay, it takes the partnership of this church and many churches to be able to do what we're doing. Now, by way of commercial, and then we'll get into the message, just want to say that we do have prayer cards. These are new cards, updated information, updated picture. We dropped off the last child, so she's not on there anymore. So, and we also have business cards, so you're welcome to get that. And then I want to just say a word about the Eternity Project. These are the booklets that we're producing. QR code on the back takes you to the website. And this is an excellent soul winner's guide. And we've used it in a number of countries already, and the nationals have fallen in love with this booklet. In fact, I was just out in Arizona, and in the church that I was in, about a third of their church congregation is Latin American. They said, Brother, do you have any of these in Spanish? And I said, oh, yeah. So I'm just getting ready to send them a whole case of the Spanish booklets. Also, we have it in track form. Now, the track is designed specifically for mass distribution, so just like passing out tracts like you would pass out a tract. These are designed more for conversations. So we use this a lot in this. In fact, this one right here, this is in French. We used a lot of these in France where we had one-on-one conversations with people there, and we were able to, you know, go through the plan of salvation. Of course, the title, as I said, is a catchy one, Eternity, A Long Time to Be Wrong. It's a long time to be wrong. So that gets their attention really quick. I was walking down the road there in Paris getting ready to meet our group, and I'm walking down the road, and my lens on this side just popped right out, flew right on the ground. I'm thinking, oh, great, you know, you know, that probably means that I lost a screw, and that's exactly what happened. And just so happened, right there was an optica, which is like their version of a vision clinic. And so I said, well, I'm going to pop in there. And I had these in a little satchel. I had these stuffed in a satchel. And I asked the woman, there's only one woman in there, and she spoke English. Very nice, very sweet person. And she said, if you just wait here for a minute, I'm going to finish up with that customer, and then I'll help you. And so she brought out all these boxes of all these different screws. You know, I have no idea how she found it, but she found the screw for these glasses and fixed them and came back. And I began to talk with her, and she said, what is that in your satchel? Because she saw the title sticking out. I do that on purpose, by the way. And she said, that's interesting title. What is that? And I said, well, let me tell you about it. And so I pulled out my English version and gave her a French version and began going through the booklet with her. And now a customer came in. I wasn't able to technically lead her to Christ. I went ahead. I said, well, I'm going to let you get the customer. I said, please do me a favor. Promise that you'll read through this. She said, I absolutely will. And sometimes when you say that, you think, oh, yeah, they're probably not going to do it. They're just throw it on a shelf. Well, I walked on down the street, went to a Subway for lunch, got my Subway, and went back to the hotel. And as I'm walking back, there she was sitting at her little desk, just going through that booklet, reading it and looking at it. And I waved at her. And the thing about it is, then they can go to the website, okay? And when they go to the website, we're still in development of the website, but we have 20 some languages now that have been translated. Our goal is 120 languages, so it's a pretty aggressive goal. And we want people to be able to use that QR code, go to the website, and to be able to go to their language. And then the eventual goal is to actually have a live person standing there and going through that plan of salvation in their language. So it's a lot of work, we're excited right now that we already have 20 plus languages translated. A lot of it, some of it in, well, we have some in Farsi, some in Arabic. We also have it in Albanian. We're working on Macedonian right now. A number of different languages, of course, Spanish and French, as I talked about. So in churches in America, it's catching on. We have a couple of men that drive over the road 18-wheelers. Okay, so they travel all over America. They're good Christian guys. They support the ministry. And they said, hey, we've got an idea. Could we wrap our truck, our trailer, in this eternity project? Now, there'll be a picture of that in the prayer letter coming up. With their truck wrapped in the Eternity Project with the QR code right there on the back of the truck, okay? So anybody driving up behind them, they can just snap a picture of that and go right to the website. And so that is really exciting. So we got a couple of guys doing that that are driving all over America and talking about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's really exciting. So pray with us about that. We are raising funding for that. This year's goal is about $5,000, my part in it anyway. And so that is also talked about in the prayer letter. So again, I want to encourage you to continue to pray for us. And speaking of that, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look here at chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, I have a little bit of a cough and a little bit of sinus drainage. Those are allergies. I'm not contagious, so don't be afraid if I cough. You know, you can still come up to me, and I promise I'll use some something for my hands. But anyway, I just want to let you know that. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, if I can get there. And verse number 11. Verse number 11. Now, Paul says this, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for, again, this opportunity to be here. Thank you for these dear folks that have come this morning. Father, I pray for these children as they go downstairs and as they listen to the lessons and they listen to the preaching and the gospel is presented. Father, I pray that if there are some of those young people that do not know you, God, today, that they would just give their heart to you, Father. I pray for these that are in the service this morning. I pray for that person, Lord, that is questioning where they're going to go when they die. They're questioning eternity, just like the booklet says. And Lord, they don't know where they'll go when they die. And Father, I pray that they get that settled in their heart today. Pray for those that are listening, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts as well. May your will be done. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Now, this morning I want to talk about prayer this morning. Now, not just in general, but more specifically. And I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of prayer as it relates to missions. And people all the time ask me, you know, Brother Druss, how can we better pray for you and your family and the ministry? What are some specific ways, some things that we can pray about? And the truth is that missionaries, and by the way, your pastor and the ministry of this church desperately needs prayer to accomplish what God has called us to do. Without prayer, we can't do it. Amen? We need that prayer in our lives. We need that prayer from our supporting churches. We need people praying for us. I remember when we were in France and we were working on that project, and every day I had people messaging me, we're praying for you today. We're praying that as the gospel goes forth, that it will speak to the hearts and lives of the people that you're trying to reach there. And that meant so much to me as a missionary. And by the way, I was thrilled this morning to see men come forward and pray at the altar. And that's exciting. Let me tell you something. That's a rarity. I don't see that in very many churches. And I want to encourage you to just continue to do that. Continue to, especially you men as leaders coming forward, as leaders in your family and coming forward and bowing at the altar. That sends a wonderful message to your children and to your family and your wife, you know, as to the importance of prayer. And I don't know, you know, there's just something about coming forward, okay? Something about committing to stepping forward and coming to the altar. That God does a work in your heart. God can do a work in your heart. But the fact is that we can't do what we do without prayer. Right now, there are people that are laboring for the Lord in very difficult parts of the world. You saw some of that this morning and in the location, some of the locations where we are. And they're trying to advance the gospel message. And the outcome, understand this, that the outcome of their effort is directly connected to work of prayer on their behalf. And this is why Paul asked those who sent him to pray for him. Now, notice in this verse of Scripture, he talks about helping together by prayer for us. That's the first thing he talks about, is prayer. He doesn't talk about the financial resources and the finances of the ministry and how to get him from point A to point B, or how to, you know, pick up the next car or whatever the case may be, as a modern-day missionary would say. But no, he talks about prayer. And that's what I've tried to emphasize this morning, is this matter of prayer. I've tried to ask the Holy Spirit and ask God to speak to my heart this morning about this matter of prayer. How much more I need to be praying. How much more I need to be praying for our workers in these locations. And some of these folks are in dangerous areas of the world, presenting the gospel message, and it could mean their very life, folks. So they're laboring for the Lord in difficult parts of the world, trying to advance the gospel message, and they need your prayers to do it. Paul said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And then he goes on and he talks about the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. And I'm so thankful for the many persons across the United States of America that pray for us and that give financially, so our ministry can be in existence today, and that we're able to reach and impact as many people as we possibly can. What is my goal for this year with all of these projects and all this stuff we're talking about? The goal is to impact as many people with the gospel as I possibly can, as I possibly can afford to do. And as I said this morning, we cannot put a price on the gospel. We cannot put a price on getting Bibles and gospel literature and these booklets, soul-winning booklets and Scripture in the hands of people. We can't put a price on that. Some people have asked me recently, how much is this project going to cost? How much is that going to cost? Well, to be honest with you, if we go all the way out to 120 languages, about $75,000. And their eyes get big, and I said, but listen to this. Already more than $20,000 has come in. So we're on a good start, and people are giving, and the project is going forth. And why do we want to do this? To reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul encouraged people to pray for him because he needed prayer. In fact, he was desperate for prayer. And I don't know about you, but I found myself desperate for prayer, desperate to have people praying for me, desperate for myself as a missionary and as a preacher and as a leader to pray and pray harder than I've ever prayed before. And most recently, challenged to pray for our country, the United States of America. And we are faced with great challenges in the years to come. And by the way, I don't put my faith and trust in a president. I don't put my faith and trust in a government. I don't put my faith and trust in man. I put my faith and trust in him. Amen. And put your faith and trust in this. This you'll never go wrong with. Amen. When it comes to making decisions in your life, when it comes to prayer and Bible study and learning and understanding what God has for your life, you can't go wrong, amen, with this. But with man, with government, with leaders, you're going to go wrong. You're going to go astray. And if you're putting your dependence on yourself, you're going to go astray. So the fact is that Paul knew that without prayer, he was powerless to do what God had called him to do. You know, you understand this, that we are powerless without that. Prayer is the power. It is the generator, the power generator in our life. I remember years ago when we had our first church, we had an electrician come in and he direct wired a generator, because back in those days, power was out 16, 18 hours a day. And so we had to have a generator to run the church and to kind of have lights. And in wintertime, it's a little rainy and damp in Albania. Even though it's a hotter climate, we still get kind of the darker and the dreary and the rainy, kind of like what it is today. It's how it would look in Albania in the wintertime, maybe even around the same temperature. But we'd have to go out there because the power would go off. We'd have to go out there and fire up that generator. You know, and he'd be puffing out the black smoke, you know, but we needed that generator for that power. Listen, we need the power generator of prayer in our lives this morning. You see, without prayer, our spiritual life is powerless to go in the direction that God wants it to go in. Without prayer, we are powerless to overcome sin and other obstacles in our lives. We can't do it. You got to pray. I remember years ago in our first church plant, a man came to me and came to my little office there, and he said, Pastor, he said, I've got a sin problem and I need help with that. Went, okay. So he comes in and sits down. We began talking about it, and he's, you know, he's boo-hooing about this sin problem in his life. And I said, Brother, let me ask you a question. I said, are you praying? And he said, well, no, I guess I'm not really praying. And I said, we have to pray. You have to incorporate prayer in your life. You have to come to repentance, but you also have to come to prayer in your life that's going to help you overcome this sin problem in your life. You see, without prayer, we can't do that. Without prayer, we are powerless to overcome that. Without prayer, our church, this church, and the missionaries that you support are powerless to fulfill God's plan for the Great Commission. So I want us to look this morning at some specific ways. I'm probably only going to get to three, but three specific ways that you as a church can pray for your missionaries, not just me as a missionary, but all the missionaries that you support, and not just that, but also the missions outreach of this church. Do you understand that this church is a lighthouse in a dark community? There are people very, very close to here that still don't understand what this church is about. And I'm not saying that you haven't reached out, but there's opportunities all around us. There's opportunities, and this area has grown in population over the years. Since I was a boy, it's grown. More businesses come in, more companies have come into this area. And it's also enriched the area. And with that comes more people into the community. In our area of Jefferson County, Berkeley County, West Virginia, the Eastern Panhandle, we are a bedroom community of Washington, D.C. So we have a lot of people moving in from Washington, D.C. They're building suburbs and houses faster than they can possibly build them. In fact, I wouldn't want to own one because they're slapping them up so fast. I'd be afraid that, you know, it's not put together very well. But they're building entire suburbs and communities. A brand new one is going up very near, within a half a mile of our home church. And our pastor said at the beginning of the year, says, look, we've got growth coming into our community. We've got thousands of people that are moving here from Virginia, from Maryland, from other areas, and coming into this area and because of the economy and other things. And we've got to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you are a missions outreach in this community. So number one, pray for gospel opportunities in advancement. Gospel opportunities in advancement. Now, you're in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 4 there. Chapter 4. Now, I want you to look here specifically at verse number 3. Verse number 3, what does that verse say? It says this, but, okay, that conjunction word there. If our gospel be hid, what? It's hid to them that are lost. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God one day and be guilty of hiding the gospel message. I don't want to stand before God and say, God, I raised a lot of money. I traveled to a lot of countries. No. That's all for naught if I'm not winning people to Christ. That's all for naught if we're not advancing the gospel message, if we're not taking those opportunities. Listen, folks, this great task of missions really is impossible without the power of prayer and without the Holy Spirit going before us. And no matter how skilled a missionary is, no matter how skilled your pastor is, any of you here this morning, we are unable to bring new life out of a dead and hardened heart. It's just not going to happen. Okay? And only God can do that.
But notice here what he says here. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them lost. Verse number 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay, that's the bad news. And I've lived and served, and I mentioned this morning, in a country for 25 years where the main religion is Islam. Okay, and people are blinded by religion. This is exactly what this verse is talking about. Get back here to chapter 4 here. In verse number 4, in whom the god of this, the god, small g, god, the devil of this world, the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We have 1.5 billion Muslims in the Middle East today, in Eastern Europe and Middle East, that are blinded by religion. Amen. They're blinded by this very thing. But here's the good news. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you understand this morning that you have the image of God imprinted on your heart this morning? You have the image of God. You take the image of God out of this church, out of those doors, into the community, into the Walmart store, at the grocery store, wherever the case may be. You have the image of God imprinted on your life. That's why it's so important that we maintain our testimony. Amen. That's why it's so vitally important. Because if you slip up and you listen to the wrong joke, or you participate in a situation at the workplace or wherever it may be, you have damaged your testimony. And by the way, you've damaged the reputation of this church. Okay? Because when you go out those doors, you represent Grace Baptist Church as a member of this church. When I go out the doors of First Baptist Church in Charlestown, West Virginia, I understand that I'm carrying the reputation of that church with me. I understand that I carry the gospel message out of that church with me. And so it's so vitally important that we pray for gospel opportunities and advancement. Let's read on here in verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, Paul says this, he said, for we preach not ourselves. Amen. We're not preaching ourselves. It's not about our agenda. It's not about a man's agenda. It's about his agenda. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Let me ask you something. Do you understand that God saves us to serve?
Amen. Yes.
God saves each one of us to serve him. God doesn't save us to sit in the pew and do nothing. God doesn't save us to just say, well, you know, let the preacher do it, or, hey, just let the missionary do it. You know, he's in all these places. Let him do it. Let him do more. And I'm fine to do that. But understand your part this morning for the sake of the gospel and the opportunities and the advancement of the gospel. Verse number 6 here says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. What a challenge from God's Word. Listen, no matter how skilled a missionary is, no matter how skilled any of us are to lead people to Christ, we can't bring a life out of a dead and hardened heart. Only God can do that. Only God can cause a Muslim to bow their head and pray and accept Jesus Christ into their life. And we've seen that happen time and time again, hundreds of times over the years. We have church plants in Albania as a result of that. We have church planters in all these locations that are reaching Muslim people as a result of that. Only God can cause an atheist to come to an understanding that there really is a God.
Amen.
That there really is a God not only created them, but loves them and died for them so that they may have everlasting life. Amen. And I've spoken to many atheists. In Albania, we have a combination of atheism and Islam. What a combination, right? It's crazy. But you'll talk to the older people, and most of them they're atheists. Okay. In fact, many of the older people, and I'm talking about probably my generation or a little bit higher, into their 60s, maybe their 70s, they would go back to communism in a heartbeat. Now, can you imagine? And it's like, why would you want to do that? Well, because it was just easier. They didn't have to think for themselves. They didn't have to do anything. The government told them where to go, what to say, what to wear. They all wore grace clothing. Okay, it was all the same. Everything was the same. That's what communism is.
That's what we started to see happening in this country, in the United States of America, where they kind of want to level the lane field, the playing field here, and have everybody the same. Everybody think the same. Everybody have the same wealth distribution. All those things, that is a form of communism. Only God can turn a life around from a destructive path of drugs and alcohol. And I've seen that happen many, many times. We have an addictions ministry in our church and in West Virginia. And God has changed a lot of lives as a result of that. But only God can do that. And since this is the work that only God's Spirit can do, prayers must be made for missionaries to have opportunities to share the gospel, and that the Spirit will give new life through the hearing of that gospel message. Here's how Paul asked for prayers for his evangelistic opportunities. In Ephesians chapter 6, you don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, if you want to write that down, look at it later, Paul says this, and I mentioned this morning, and for me. This is another verse that talks about some of the first words Paul says, and for me. He doesn't look over and say, oh yeah, that's for that person, or that's for the preacher, or that's for this, or that's for that. No, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to do what? To make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, we have the power of the gospel, but are we ashamed of it? Just ask it. Are we ashamed of it? Are we hiding it? Are we hiding over there behind the tree? One time I was out on visitation. I'm trying to remember where it was. Maybe it was on a trip, but it might have been at home in Albania. And it was at home. And I had some guys with me. They're preacher boys, you know. And we're out, and so I'm talking with people, and I'm looking around like, where are my guys? You know, where are they at? And so I'm walking around. Finally, I made my way around to the next coffee shop, and there they were sitting there. Okay, yeah, they saw some people that knew them, and they kind of backed away and said, "No, we're not going to do this." Listen, are we ashamed of the gospel this morning? Thank God the gospel is colorblind. Amen. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter the age. I remember a number of years ago in our church, we had this man. His name was Bashkimi. Now, Bashkimi was an older man. I mean, he was in his 80s at the time. And we would go and we'd pick him up at the old man's home. Okay, he was in like a rest home kind of thing. And because of Muslim culture, the women were in one, the men were in the other one. If they weren't married, you know, they had another place for those. But And so he wasn't married. And so he was in this old man's home. We'd pick him up every Sunday, bring him to church. And he'd come down and he'd sit right on the front pew. And he'd be looking up at me. But Bashkimi had this big knot on his head, a great big knot. And he'd be sitting down there on the front pew with a big knot on his head looking up at me, you know. And I'd preach the gospel. And finally I said, Bashkimi, when are you going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he said, well, Pastor, he said, I know I need to do that. I know I need to do that. But he said, I'm just not ready. I said, Bashkimi, what are you waiting for? You know, I said, how old are you? He said, I think he said he was 84, 85, something like that. Well, I said, have you ever had that bump on your head? I'm a little concerned about it. Have you had that looked at? And he said, no, I've never, I can't afford to, you know, healthcare system in Albania is really bad. Was at that time, still is a little bit now. But he said, no, I don't have the money. And I said, well, the church will pay for it. Let's get that checked out. So he went and had the tests. And in the meantime, he kept coming to church, sitting down there, bump on his head, you know, looking at me, preaching the gospel, and still wouldn't come. And the next week, Bashkimi got the news. The test came in. Cancer. He not only had cancer in the growth itself, but it had gone into his brain. It had gone systemically through his body. Bashkimi had a change of heart. Bashkimi realized that he would soon be facing eternity without Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the next Sunday he came forward and he got saved. Amen. It doesn't matter your age, your income, your social status, or your education level. No. It's that who all will believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ. So pray for gospel opportunities and advancement. Secondly, pray for protection and deliverance of your missionaries. Okay? Now, I don't know what countries you cover, but I know you cover some countries that missionaries are in some sensitive areas like we are, and we have to be careful, and you need to pray for protection and deliverance of those missionaries. Listen, understand this. The enemies of Christ and his church are always warring against the advancement of the gospel. The devil hates it. He hates for us going into Muslim countries because he knows he's got his tentacles wrapped around a religious culture of 1.5 billion Muslims that are deceived by this false religion, by this false leader of Allah. And it's very, very sad. But understand this, if a missionary plans to proclaim Christ among the unreached, which, by the way, in some of the areas, we are dealing with unreached people groups, understand that he will certainly be attacked by Satan's forces. It's going to happen. And believe me, there's not an area more attacked by Satan than where the gospel is being preached to those who for so long have been held by his grip, so that the church must fervently pray for protection and deliverance from its enemies. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says this. He says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." Unreasonable and wicked men. Why? For all men have not the faith. All men have not the faith. Listen, just because you're a missionary in a country and you have everything that, and some of these missionaries going out, man, they get fully funded. They get all this stuff, shipping containers full of church stuff. And that, praise the Lord for that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. But they get to the field and they set up the church and they open the church doors and nobody's coming through those doors. Okay? And just because you have a church and just because you have all the nice things and everything that you think you want doesn't mean that the church doors are going to be open and tons of people are going to be coming in. Why? Because you got to go out and get them.
That's right.
You got to go out and preach to them. You got to go out and convince them. When we're in Ukraine, we preach the gospel right in the park. Okay? And people are looking at us like some look at us like they're getting ready to pull out the butterfly net, you know? But, you know, they look at us like, what are you doing? And we invite them to come over and listen, come closer. And, you know, and why? Because we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, that I may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Why? For all men have not the faith. Not everyone's going to agree with you when it comes to the gospel. There's going to be obstinance. There's going to be disagreement. There's going to be downright rudeness. I mean, I've had door slammed in my face. I've had dogs sicked on me. I've had people spit at my feet. I've had all kinds of situations over the years. Why? Because the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it penetrates the hearts of people. And the gospel is there to speak to people. Paul was even confident that the prayers of his supporting churches would be the means that the Lord would use to rescue him from his afflictions. Now, if you study the life of the Apostle Paul, we know, you know, the history. A lot of times he was running for his life, you know, ended up in prison and other things that happened in the ministry life that he had. But anyway, Paul understood this. He understood that it was going to be the prayers of God's people that would deliver him from these things. You know, it talks about him having an affliction. Now, historians believe, and I've listened to Jewish historians, they believe that Paul was kind of a simple man, he wasn't a big man, you know, but he had an affliction. Nobody really knows what that was, but it was a physical affliction. And he dealt with that, and he lived with that. I understand a little bit of affliction. I've got a bad back. I've got two herniated discs and all that, and I have pain and, you know, arthritis in my thumbs and all this other kind of stuff that comes along as you get older. But anyway, just don't get old, right? Amen. But no, it's a little past that for me. But Paul was confident that it was going to be the prayers of God's people that would deliver him from these things. I'm confident that it's the prayers of this church and our supporting churches that will deliver us from men that want to do evil and harm to us.
Amen.
And I've been in some very scary situations where I actually feared my life. I actually thought, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this one, Lord. And I began praying. I knew people were praying for me. I just felt it.
So understand this, that we need people to pray for our deliverance, for our protection. As we travel last year, in the last trip completed for 2024 was the end of November. 41 different flights I was on last year. Now that's hoofing it. Okay, that's busy. Okay, I lost count how many airports. 16 different countries. And some of those countries spending significant time slots in those countries, training workers. Listen, we need people praying. The last thing, and listen to this very carefully. How you can pray, how you can best pray for your mission is pray for their spiritual condition and refreshment. Listen, this is vitally important. Brother Morrison's a friend of mine. He told me one time, he said, Brother Mike, he said the attrition rates of missionaries on the field right now are going down. It's going down fast.
Yes.
Okay. Trying to get students out of these schools, and I've taught in some of the schools. When I've been on furloughs, I've been able to teach in institutes and training centers. I was in one school, and if I said the name, you'd know where it is. And I was teaching a missions class. And I said, how many of your student body, what is the percentage of your student body that feel called into missions? I don't remember exactly, but I know it was less than 4%. Okay, so the interest in missions on the student level, and yeah, it's great that maybe they want to be pastors and missionaries, or pastors or evangelists or whatever, that's great, we need that. We need church planters in America. And by the way, if we don't start getting more church planters in America, we're going to be in trouble. Amen. And we need to replace churches that have closed. Some churches closed during COVID, never reopened. We lost one supporting church because of that. Can you imagine? Closed. But listen, your missionaries need prayer for their spiritual condition. Why do I say that? Well, I have to tell you that sometimes the difficulties of different languages and cultures, the loneliness due to the lack of fellowship, the distance between loved ones. Listen, we went through all of that in the early days of Albania, where, our first year on the mission field, the holidays was a disaster, okay? Christmas or Thanksgiving Day, I tried forever to find a turkey. Couldn't find frozen turkeys. You could find live ones, but they weren't ready yet because they were prepping them for New Year's. That was their big holiday. Under communism, New Year's was the big holiday, not Christmas. So they were getting them ready. So you couldn't even buy a turkey on the street and kill it yourself and do a turkey. So I said, and I couldn't find a turkey. And my poor little children, you know, they're sitting around wanting a Thanksgiving dinner, you know. And I said, honey, we're not in America anymore. And so we had a Thanksgiving tortellini, you know. I mean, you just make do with what you have. But I remember that being very depressing. It was dark, raining, dreary, you know, and we had no family around us. It was just us. That was it. Had no friends in the country at the time. Didn't know anybody. It was a time of discouragement in the very beginning. And Brother Morrison told me, he said, one of the reasons why people, missionaries, are returning off the field is because of discouragement.
That's right.
They get discouraged. And I want you to go back to chapter 2, if you're there, or maybe you're still there, in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Now, we were there. We finished up with verse number 6. Let's jump down to verse number 8. Now, I love this passage of Scripture because there's a lot of promises here. Verse number 8 says this, we are troubled on every side. Have you ever felt like when trouble's just caving in on you? It's about ready to collapse your life. Trouble relationally, trouble financially, whatever the case may be, trouble comes in. But Paul says this, there's trouble on every side, yet not distressed. Amen. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us.
Amen.
We have Jesus in our life. We should put our faith and dependence on Him. That's why not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Boy, I tell you, I wish I had a dime for every time I had a perplexing thought. Or you could stand perplexed on my forehead because of all the times I've said, God, why this? Why there? Why here? You know, always questioning God. God just said, look, just do what I'm asking you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. Amen? And maybe God's saying that to you this morning. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Just do it. And I'll take care of what needs to be done. I'll take care of that. Paul goes on to say here in chapter 4,
Verse number 9, persecuted but not forsaken. Amen? We may face persecution, and I think if the Lord tarries and is coming, I think we're going to face more persecution in the United States of America as time moves along. I think we've got maybe a little bit of a reprieve here for a while, but we saw it coming down the pike, okay, 4 years ago. And so we may be faced with more persecution as time moves along. But understand this, we're not forsaken. Amen. I said this morning, guess what? We're on the winning side. Amen. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Amen. So we're on the winning side. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Okay, we may be cast down even to the point where we lose our life for the sake of Christ, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because we're on our way to heaven. Amen. And we're going to a better place. Listen, Paul understood this. You need to pray for the spiritual condition of your missionaries, that missionaries, including me, would stay close to the Lord spiritually. Yes. So vitally important. I mentioned this morning in Philippians 3:10. Paul said this, that I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Pray that your missionaries will know him. Amen. Pray that your pastor will know him. Pray for the outreach of this church. Pray for the leadership of this church that they will know him. Amen. And by the way, you can't know him without this book. You can't know him without spending time in prayer. You can't know him. Paul said that I may know him. Listen, missionaries are just like anyone, which is to say that we are weak, frail vessels that are faced daily with the same spiritual battles and issues of life as anyone. The Apostle Paul knew that it was through the church's prayers that he would be able to escape the trials of his life and be refreshed by his time with the saints. One of the reasons why missionaries take furloughs or they report to churches is for that time of refreshment. That's right. That time of communion with their supporting churches, with your partners, to say thank you. It's refreshing to me to stand up here and say, because of you, we can do what we do. Amen. Because of your prayers and because of your financial support, we're able to do that. I'm thankful to be the missionary preceding your missions month. That's exciting. The missionaries that are coming, I was reading the list there. Exciting things are happening. And so it's important to pray specifically for your missions, for your missionary spiritual condition, that they will keep spiritually fit, close to the Lord. And sometimes missionaries, when they get discouraged, as I talked about this before, understand this, the devil knows it. And the devil knows that if he can get a missionary discouraged, then he can get him sliding away from God.
That's right.
Okay, get him away from God. Then guess what happens? The ministry suffers, the gospel message is hindered, and then people die and go to hell. It's as simple as that. It's a domino effect. And I've seen it happen in Albania. Missionaries get discouraged, they leave, they close up their church. The influence, the sphere of influence that they had in that community, the reputation for Christ is now destroyed. Okay? And so we can't allow that to happen. So missionaries need prayer to stay strong, faithful for the sake of the gospel, even in the most difficult times. So, here's what you need to do. Pray for your missionaries. Amen? Get those prayer letters. Look at those prayer requests. Now, in our prayer letter, usually I'll mix it into the whole body of the prayer. So you got to read the whole thing to find out what the prayer requests are. Okay? Yeah, I know I'm a tricky one, right? So you got to read the whole thing. So pray for your missionaries. Pray for your pastors of your church.
Amen.
Pray for them. Pray for the missions outreach of this church, okay? And then lastly, pray for each other as a body of believers. You know, I find if you don't like somebody, if you start praying for them, guess what? God's going to change your heart. And you get people in church, sometimes that happens, and it happens in every church from time to time. People get squabbling or they have disagreements or whatever. Pray for each other, amen? Pray, you know, if you think you're right, pray that the other person will think you're right too. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but, you know, pray for each other as a body of believers. We need our members in our churches praying for each other. Pray that they'll stay strong. Strong at the workplace. Strong as a testimony, as a witness. Pray that they stay strong. Pray that God will use you this week to open your mouth boldly and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time this morning. Now, I pray that if there is somebody here that has listened to this message and we've talked about prayer and we've talked about the gospel and getting the gospel out there and Maybe they've just not been a recipient of the gospel message yet. Or maybe they've heard it and they've not truly received it in their heart. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to their heart this morning. Lord, that they would come forward and they would accept you as their personal Savior. That they understand, Lord, there is no hope outside of Jesus. There's no hope outside of this. And so, Father, I pray they would place their hope and trust in you this morning. Pray for the Christian. Pray for the believer. I pray that they have been challenged, as I have been challenged, Lord, to do more in this matter of prayer. And Father, I pray that you just, your will be done now during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
We'll stand with our heads bowed and have Patty begin to play. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you about this morning, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we would love to take God's word and show you how you can know without any question that your sin is forgiven, you are right with the Holy God, you're His child. So if you need to speak to someone, come right now. We'll take that opportunity to share the gospel with you. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Have you ever thought about surrendering your life to serve Christ as a missionary? Now, that's between you and the Lord, but have you ever surrendered to that? You come this morning, you come. Maybe you just know there's something in your life right now that is not right. There's something that's standing between you and the Lord. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I need to get some things right with you this morning. Would you be obedient to the Lord this morning?